Chapter 1.
You know,
the young witch Naomi mumbled as she thumbed through an old newspaper.
This wasn't exactly the way I planned on spending my Friday night.
My lover pulled a bit of her black and red hair back over her ear as her dark lips twisted into a frown. Then she adjusted the corset shirt on her chest immediately after, which only seemed to reveal her creamy, fish-netted cleavage beneath even more. Naomi slapped the newspaper down onto the table before she placed both her hands up over her head and bent her body to the left in a quick stretch.
Come on, Naomi!
The paranormal archaeology student, Janine, chuckled as she pushed her glasses up her nose.
If you weren't here with Carter and I, you'd just be sitting around Cincy's Jewel nursing a glass of whiskey as you people watched.
And?
Naomi retorted.
People watching is a great way to pass the time. Do you have any idea how funny it is to sit around the club and watch how many annoying guys get told to piss off by the women they're hitting on? Or when you see a completely trashed sorority sister attempting to dance? It's literally hours of free entertainment.
Well, as much as I hate to pull you away from your Friday night, we needed an extra body here to help us try and figure out what we can do about this new alliance between Kanzu and Keck. During our recent battle with a deadly were-turtle, my friends and I had discovered that the Egyptian lunar god Khonsu and the god of chaos, Keck, had recently joined forces. Apparently they were getting annoyed that I was still alive and starting to encroach on their territories. Plus the fact that I was killing every single creature they threw at me, and I was gaining a very strong reputation in the paranormal world.
Believe it or not,
Janine noted, without looking up from the book she was reading.
This alliance bodes very well for you.
How do you figure? Two literal Egyptian gods want to kill us all simply for existing.
The fact they think they have to work together is huge,
the redhead continued.
It means they realize you're too powerful to defeat on their own.
Khonsu's probably running out of men, too,
Naomi said.
How many members of the Order of the Lunar God have we killed so far?
At this point? Hundreds. And I can't imagine they're being replaced very quickly, either.
How does that pitch even go?
Naomi snorted.
How did yours go?
Janine asked.
You were recruited into a sisterhood of lunar god worshippers, right?
I wasn't recruited,
the witch argued.
I joined because I thought they sounded badass and I wanted some friends.
Thankfully, I'm pretty sure the OLG isn't able to attract members on either of those fronts. They seem pretty hive-minded, and the more I kick their asses, the less badass they look. If anything, I'm surprised more paranormal fanatics haven't come to us asking to join our team.
That's because we don't exactly have Val advertising the fact that you're a were-panther in our ads for the lounge. Nor are we really going out posting flyers around the city looking for worshippers of Bast.
Janine giggled. I can't imagine there are too many of those around Cincinnati. Then again, I didn't think there would be this many followers of Khonsu around here either.
It's a chicken or the egg situation,
the redhead explained.
It's hard to tell if there were many followers of Khonsu here originally, or if your mere presence as a were-panther attracted them to this area.
Either way, I'm fucking sick of them.
Naomi mumbled before she picked up another newspaper and let out a long sigh.
What the hell are we even looking for again? I feel like I've been rummaging through old papers for like 6 hours now.
Only three,
Janine corrected, but the witch just rolled her eyes. We've been looking for anything that might be useful against Khonsu or Keck, I reminded us all. We've pretty much exhausted UC's library in terms of information about these two chuckle fucks, so we had to come here to the Cincinnati Historical Society to see what they've got.
All this only goes back to, like, the 1600s,
Naomi continued.
How is that going to help with fighting off two ancient deities?
I told you the newspaper section wasn't the best place to start,
Janine said with a smirk.
Plenty of older books and texts here cover ancient times as well.
Newspapers and magazines are more my speed, so I'll stick to these for now. Who knows? Maybe somebody in the early days of the city gave a first-hand account of some of the strange shit that's happened here, which maybe could be tied to either of our enemies.
That's quite a stretch,
Janine mused.
But I suppose stranger things have happened.
I'll remind you that you're a changeling sitting between a were-panther and a witch. Anything is possible.
You still didn't really answer my question,
Naomi grumbled as she rubbed her eyes and yawned.
What could possibly be in a newspaper or old book that might help us against frickin' gods of Egypt?
Lots of things,
Janine argued.
There might be other paranormal entities living in Cincinnati that we've never encountered before, for starters.
Oh, great.
The witch rolled her eyes.
More enemies for us to fight. On the contrary.
Janine proclaimed, and her beautiful brown eyes lit up the way they did when she was about to go on a nerdy rant.
If there are hidden monsters and paranormal creatures remaining in Cincinnati that we don't know about, then they would most likely be friends, not foes.
How do you figure? I asked with a raised eyebrow.
Well...
The beautiful redhead trailed off as she cocked her head in thought.
It is pretty well known around the paranormal circles that there is a werepanther in Cincinnati now, and we all know you have a massive target on your back. Khonsu and Keck have been throwing their strongest monsters at you, along with their most devoted human followers, yet these mystery creatures have remained in hiding? If they truly wanted to challenge you, they would have done so by now, or they would have formed an alliance with our enemies at the very least.
That sounds neutral.
Naomi scoffed.
Not allied.
True.
Janine shrugged.
Though neutral parties can easily be turned, especially if they're familiar with the sort of power Carter holds over this city.
So we're looking for signs of other paranormal creatures.
The witch said with a nod.
Got it.
Not just other creatures.
Janine continued.
Have you ever read any of Lovecraft's novels?
Nope.
Naomi chuckled.
I'm more of a Mary Shelley girl, if I'm being honest.
Well, one of Lovecraft's signature traits is that he leaves clues scattered throughout his writings for both the reader and his characters, and do you know how he does so?
Newspapers and letters, I said.
Exactly.
Janine continued.
Reports of men who've had their hearts torn out of their body or decapitated with a symbol drawn on their heads, there could very easily be clues hidden in these documents such as those.
Look for people who died violently?
Naomi whistled, and a few of the people in the reading room of the Cincinnati Historical Society shot us dirty looks.
Now we're talking!
With that, the three of us continued on with our research, but it was hard to find anything of note. Especially since we hadn't found a rabbit hole to go down quite yet. I read plenty of accounts of cults or strange phenomena in the Cincy area, though none of them offered any concrete evidence to grasp onto. Then again, we were studying the paranormal, and that didn't exactly have a ton of tangible evidence to work with. As I was thumbing through an old textbook about occultism in the 1800s, I saw a name I recognized from one of my Egyptian history courses at UC. Amon, the god of air. A lesser-known god, but a god nonetheless. Then I got a strange idea. Could we go to the other gods? I pondered aloud. If our enemies are forming alliances with each other, then why don't we go straight to the source?
That would be... difficult.
Janine admitted as she pursed her lips. How? I've already talked with Bast before, in the flesh.
That's because she is the one who created you as a werepanther.
Janine noted.
Your soul belongs to her, hence why you could communicate with her directly, with a little help from Naomi's forbidden, dangerous spell, of course.
It worked, didn't it?
The witch smirked, without looking up from her newspaper clipping.
However, your idea is solid, Carter.
Janine continued, and she tapped her lips as she thought.
Forming alliances with other gods and goddesses would be pretty damn helpful, though we'd have to be careful as to which ones we approach.
I'd say Thoth and Aya are both out of the question.
Naomi interjected.
Since, you know, they're both moon deities and would side with Khonsu.
Metni, Amhe, Osiris, Bapef, and Nakith are off the table as well.
Janine sighed.
They're all servants of the underworld and associated with evil incarnate.
Probably Anubis isn't an option either, then. Which is a damn shame, considering the symbolism of having a cat and a dog working together in harmony and all.
A jackal.
Janine giggled.
He's a jackal, Carter.
Close enough.
And I wouldn't necessarily say he's out of the question either. Anubis is the one who resides in the underworld and judges the souls of the deceased, but that doesn't automatically make him evil.
It's all for naught if we can't talk to them, though. Unless... Wait! The light bulb went off in my head as I got another potentially crazy idea. If we can't talk to the gods themselves, then maybe we can go after their followers.
That might just work.
Janine pushed her glasses up the bridge of her cute button nose as her lips twisted into a grin.
Though we would have to track down the meeting locations of their followers, which is not an easy task to do.
I'd imagine. They're not going to exactly be tossing up flyers advertising for people to join their cult. Naomi, are you familiar with any other occult followers in the area? Naomi said as she stroked her chin with her dark nails.
Most of the occult organizations I know around here are followers of the lunar deities, unfortunately. And we shouldn't go to them for obvious reasons.
Surely there are more, I said with a frown. You can't tell me every single occultist in this area worships the lunar gods. Keck has followers, remember?
I'm not saying it's impossible.
Naomi shrugged.
I'm just letting you know I won't be much help outside of my own little bubble.
Keep digging,
Janine ordered.
There is surely something here we can use.
We put our noses down and kept on at the research for nearly 2 more hours, until I noticed the sun was starting to go down outside the window. I'd found plenty of interesting things during our marathon research session, but so far there was nothing that told me anything about Keck or Kanzu or any potential allies. I was just about to call it a night when Naomi let out a loud,
"Aha!"
The rest of the people in the reading room stared at the three of us, and one of them even let out a long, angry, "Shh!"
Sorry.
Naomi chuckled, but then she turned to Janine and I.
Check out this article from 1948.
The witch flipped the faded yellow newspaper over and slid it across the table, and Janine snatched it up in an instant.
Local philanthropist found dead in home. Police suspect foul play.
She began as she read the article aloud.
Yuri Omar, 56, was found dead in his home, located in Lytle Park on Thursday. Police say the famous philanthropist was deceased when they arrived on the scene, with his eyeballs removed from his head and gruesomely placed inside of his mouth, along with a strange flower-like symbol carved into his forehead. Police were first alerted to the situation when Omar's friends from his book club could not contact him and became worried.
That definitely wasn't a book club.
Naomi snorted.
It reeks of occultist-on-occultist violence.
Flower-like symbol. I pondered aloud. Any ideas on who that could be?
The lotus flower is a very powerful symbol in Egyptian mythology,
Janine reminded me.
As well as the occult. Usually it's associated with Nefertem, the blue lotus god, and the child of... Oh, that's it! Carter, Nefertem is the child of Bast. If his followers still reside in the area, they would be the perfect place to look for allies.
I don't know about that. You just read what they did to that poor old man.
Please.
Naomi said with a roll of her eyes.
We occultists might do some very sketchy things in the worship of our gods and goddesses, but we don't make a public statement like that unless we want to humiliate our enemies. Whoever Yuri Omar was, he probably got what was coming to him.
Maybe. There's no telling if there are still people in the area who worship Nefertem, though, or if they'd actually be willing to form an alliance with us.
There's only one way to find out,
Janine said with a smile.
More research.
No.
Naomi groaned.
Ugh, I'm really regretting not sneaking in a bottle of scotch right about now.
It'll be over soon, I promised the black and red-haired witch. We have a lead now, so we just have to start looking into this Yuri Omar guy and figure out who might have wanted to kill him. Once we find that out, we'll need to look into them, too, until we get a name.
And then we can look for descendants,
Janine proclaimed with a grin.
Isn't research fun?
I really should have brought that bottle of scotch.
Naomi sighed. The three of us started doing some more investigation into Yuri Omar, who was a surprisingly major figure in Sinsi back in the day. Thank the gods, because that meant there was plenty of information on him. We found out what companies he owned, who he donated to, how he got his fortune, and pretty much everything about the guy's personal life. What finally broke the camel's back, though, was when Janine discovered the name of the man's murderer.
Boom!
The redhead said as she held out a copy of the police records.
Jackson Barker was arrested for the murder of Yuri Omar in 1951.
3 years later, I raised an eyebrow. They must have really been upset about this guy's death.
Or maybe there were occultists in the police department?
Naomi suggested.
They'd be pretty pissed if one of their own was killed, to the point where they wouldn't close down the investigation until it was solved.
So now, we just need to figure out who this man was and who he was working for.
Janine noted, and we got back to work. Within the hour, we had discovered that Jackson Barker was a local school teacher who always spent his Saturdays hanging out with his friends at his local lodge. Naomi also found a picture of the man in one of his school's yearbooks, where he very clearly had a blue lotus tattoo sticking out from underneath his sleeve. He was a worshipper of Nefertum, I smirked.
A member of the Brotherhood of the Blue Lotus.
Janine chuckled.
Of course.
Naomi split off from Janine and I, who continued to look into this man's background and his relationship with the Nefertum cult. Meanwhile, Naomi went down the rabbit hole on his victim to see if she could find anything about his own occultist beliefs. Soon, the witch made a happy snort, and we both looked over to see her holding out an old-looking record.
Omar's will,
she announced as she pointed to one particular paragraph.
Check this out. He had all of his fortune donated to some organization called Wissam Al-Nil Al-Qaidim? Anyone got a translation on that one?
Ancient Order of the Nile,
Janine said immediately. Definitely a cult. Have either of you heard of them before?
No.
Janine shook her head.
Perhaps Ada has, though.
Are we almost done here?
Naomi yawned before she glanced out the window.
This place is going to close soon, and I feel like my eyeballs are about to fall out of my head from pure exhaustion.
We've probably done enough for today. We've got some really damn good leads, and I'm sure Ada can help us fill in the blanks on anything we're missing.
Let's hope so.
The witch chuckled.
Because there's no way in hell I'm coming back to this place.
Really?
Janine frowned.
This is like Christmas morning for me.
I'm glad you get joy out of this stuff.
Naomi mused.
I really do. To me, though, I'd almost rather watch paint dry.
Janine, Naomi, and I returned all of our borrowed materials back to their places before we gathered up our notebooks, backpacks, and water bottles, and then we began to head out for the night. We exited the large stadium-shaped building and walked out into the brisk, cold Cincinnati evening. But most of the other patrons had left by this point in the day, so my bright yellow Hummer stood out like a sore thumb through the darkness. We walked over to the vehicle and hopped inside, and then I twisted the key and started up the engine with a loud roar. I put the vehicle in gear and we pulled off into one of the side roads of the city.
I think I'm out of practice,
I said through a yawn as I tried to keep my focus on the road. I haven't pulled a study marathon like that since I dropped out of college.
Then maybe you should come back,
Janine suggested.
I miss seeing your sexy eyes and smiling face around campus, and your cute butt. I really miss seeing that.
You can see that whenever you want, I reminded the redhead. But I've got way too much going on right now to even think about school. Between running Cincy's Jewel and all the crazy creatures out to get me, my plate's pretty full.
You know, there are now rumors that you're expanding?
The paranormal archaeologist noted.
I overheard some other students in my biology class talking about how Cincy's Jewel was going to open a second location because it's so popular.
That's news to me. Though Ada and I have talked about it before. We just want to make sure the time is right. And we want to make sure we're going into the right market and all that.
That sounds like a Val problem,
Naomi said.
Too much demographics data and numbers for me.
Naomi had a point. Valerie, the powerful and genius were-turtle, was in charge of all of our marketing and PR endeavors. And she did a damn fine job at that. Without her, I didn't know if Cincy's Jewel would have had anywhere near the same sort of success it was experiencing at the moment. Or if it would have just been the shitty, cheap hole in the wall that it was when Div still owned it. I started to say something, but then every single nerve in my body suddenly began to tingle. The hair on my arms stood up a bit as panic flooded my brain, and I let out a gasp when I realized what was happening.
Carter?
Janine asked.
What's going on?
My invisible eye. It's going crazy right now.
We're not about to hit another deer, are we?
Naomi chuckled.
Can't you just use your animal-talking magic to tell him to stay off the road?
I don't think it's that. This seems like a way bigger threat than an animal simply jumping out into the road. Then my superhuman hearing picked up the sounds of roaring engines. 5 of them, all located to the north of our position. Before I had a chance to react, 5 sets of headlights turned onto the road in front of our vehicle about a mile ahead of us. The 5 vehicles stretched across the entire width of the road, to the point where I couldn't get past them even if I wanted to. They were blocking us.
I think I figured out what set off your invisible eye,
Naomi growled as silver magic began to glow in her hands. Hold tight, I commanded as I yanked the wheel of the Hummer to the left, and its tires squealed as we whipped around and made a full 180. The engines of the cars behind us revved up as if they were trying to intimidate us, and then their tires screeched against the pavement as they rocketed forward. From the sounds of the vehicles, I could tell they were all some sort of muscle car, and I knew they wouldn't have a hard time catching up to us. Next, I heard a bunch of short, quick noises that reminded me of a bee buzzing past us, and it surrounded the vehicle on all sides. they were shooting at us now, too. Definitely not friendlies. Still, the joke was on them. Maybe these assholes didn't realize who I was or what I was capable of, but they were about to find out. The second I knew Janine and Naomi were safe, I was going to rip these fuckers apart with my bare hands.